listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
In days of yore, stress was created by real dangers like wild animal attacks or being unable to find a source of food. These days, stress comes from many more sources, including worries and pressures that we create in our own heads. But the effects of the stress are as real as ever and are intricately linked, according to our guest for today, to our emotional life and thought patterns, with the disharmony of anger, fear, and the whole spectrum of emotional experience generating a near constant stream of stress for some people. Many of us feel at times like we're on the edge and we may crack. Our guest today, Paul Hulisch, went over the edge, cracked, and then brought himself back, which is very unusual. He's here to tell us how he did it, along with the ideas to help you if stress is now playing a big part in your own life. Welcome to Full Power Living, the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat on the emotionalpro.com page or the blogtalkradio.com/FPL page. Paul Hulisch co-founded Best Corporation, which was a pioneering organic foods company. He was chairman and joint CEO. In leading the company to great success, during which its value grew to more than $100 million, he developed a number of severe stress-related conditions. Ultimately, he was diagnosed by several psychiatrists in 1998 as suffering from bipolar disorder as a result of years of unchecked stress. That year, he also experienced a full nervous breakdown, losing his rights as a citizen and being made a ward of the state in New Zealand. Despite seeking the best care available, he was informed that there was no cure and that he would inevitably relapse and he would have to be taking medication for the rest of his life. He got determined to free himself of his condition and began a comprehensive search for answers, traveling to the world-renowned Mayo Clinic in Minnesota and admitting himself to the Menninger Clinic in Kansas. Well, aided by exhaustive research, he ultimately succeeded in mastering stress, overcoming his conditions, and achieving a healthy, positive way of life by developing and implementing his 9-step overall wellness plan, which he has written down as part of his book called Stress Pandemic: 9 Natural Steps to Survive, Master Stress, and Live Well. Paul Hulisch, welcome to Full Power Living.
Hello, Eileen.
Great. Welcome. Paul, let me just ask you about this. I don't think that most of us stay aware of how much stress we're experiencing, that we just sort of set it aside and keep putting one foot in front of the other. We get that we're stressed, but on the other hand, we don't notice it enough to do something definitive about it. And I know you had several stresses. You were under business stress, travel stress, you were raising a family, you were working with family members, your brothers, and you were responsible for other people's lives as an employer. And you say you were also working hard to please others. So tell us more about this stress that you were under and how you experienced it.
Well, as a teenager, I bought into the Hollywood way of life, the dream, and I thought I'll work hard and become successful. It's just that I didn't know on that journey that in the end it would bring me down, the stress of life and my lifestyle. What happened was I was quite conscious of health. I thought I had a reasonable lifestyle. And as the years went by, I developed a number of warning signs, symptoms of stress, the dangers of stress. I actually started to grind my teeth And, you know, I went to the dentist, and the dentist says, oh, don't worry, it happens to a lot of people. You just have to wear a mouth guard at night. And I said, well, that's not very romantic, but okay, all right, I'm one of everybody, I guess that's okay. As time went on, my circadian rhythm went. I needed to take sleeping tablets. I had insomnia. I'd either have trouble going to sleep, or if I did go to sleep, I kept waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning and tossing and turning. So in the end, I took sleeping tablets, and again, I researched it and took a good one that a lot of the pilots and flight attendants take. But as time went on, things got worse. I started to develop anxiety. When anxiety came along, I thought, oh, I have to do something about this. And the thing is, before I tell you what happened with anxiety, we all have symptoms of stress. And if you do, you need to do something about it. That could be frequent headaches, excess anxiety, a dull feeling in your tummy, guilt, anger, sadness, insomnia, as I mentioned before, and teeth grinding, but depression, fatigue, the onset of diabetes, addictions, which are coping mechanisms, especially our destructive ones when we're under stress and feeling pressured about life, difficulty concentrating, unexplained weight gain or loss, feeling overwhelmed. The list goes on. But I developed anxiety. So I reached out for help. I went to a psychiatrist. I went to my doctor. And in the end, I was put on medication for anxiety. But from there, I developed depression, mild depression. So I was on medication, and I kept thinking, I'm trying to do everything right. The doctors and the psychiatrist says you need to relax more, go on holiday. So I'd go on more. They'd tell me to take up yoga, take up massage, having a massage, maybe taking up meditation. I took all that up. I tried very hard to keep the line on stress, but it got the better of me. As time went on, one day I developed severe depression. And that's when I was lying in the fetal position in bed in total darkness, feeling so afraid and unloved and unable to get out of bed. And if I did, I couldn't make a decision on what to eat or what to wear. From there, I became a runaway train. Even though they put me on extremely strong stabilizing drugs and medication, I developed mood swings whereby my high was having bizarre behavior, thinking I'm invincible and that I could do anything, signing contracts that I can't deliver, bizarre behavior like overspending, actually trying to jump off walls, thinking I could fly, to giving out $100 bills at the local gas station, and actually stripping off to my underpants in a board meeting. And that's when I became totally out of control. In the end, I had a complete nervous breakdown, lost complete control over myself, my actions, cannot remember a lot of what I did, and lost everything that I had worked for, and most of all, my freedom.
Boy, it must have been a really tough time. We recently had a psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Breggin, on the show, and his contention is that some of those strong medications can do precisely those things to people, that that we need to understand them and work with them more. So even if you know more, it's a fine line to determine whether that's something that's going on with you or the medications are pushing you, but wow, that's a terrible thing to fall into. Now, you say that stress is intricately linked to our emotional life. So how was emotion linked in to what you just described, to that experience for you?
Well, Eileen, all my research in the end, when I was trying to work out what went wrong, all the doctors, you know, from the finest doctors, most capable ones, knowledgeable ones throughout the world, they all said I had a chemical imbalance. And then I started to research everything about the chemical imbalance. And my research led me to the five most important neurochemicals that make up your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and moods. And that is serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, endorphins. And a lot of the drugs that the drug companies develop are actually working on those neurochemicals that I've just mentioned. And, of course, I studied a lot about the hormone cortisol, which comes into being when the stress response happens. And I studied everything to do with the root cause, because I noticed all of us are dealing with symptoms, but not the causes. As I said, you go to a doctor with symptoms. If those symptoms are not going away with medication, you have got an issue with stress. You need to look at what else you can do to fortify yourself against the stresses and challenges of life. And I didn't know this until I started looking for a cure. So everything led me to looking at the neurochemistry, and the neurochemicals are serotonin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, dopamine, and endorphins. So when you have a stress response, which is your fight-flight scenario, when you're feeling threatened and challenged, all of a sudden the body and the mind starts to react. And what happens is, it depends on the individual. Sometimes people feel stressed more than others with situations. Sometimes the neurochemistry affects only the mind emotionally, or it might affect the body, or both. And what I found is it's affecting both. It's actually affecting the body. Everything starts to tense up, and everything starts to change. And in time, with the neurochemistry changing, you develop mind conditions or physical ailments. And it also has an effect with dopamine, because dopamine is your reward mechanism, your reward and pleasure center. And that's where the dopamine is hijacked with superficial, fast-acting, destructive substances that feed our anxiety, and that is all to do with crap food, which stands for caffeine, refined sugar, alcohol, and processed foods. And according to the American Health Survey, Mental Health America Survey, 45% of us Americans eat to cope with stress. And 42% of us reach for alcohol, smoking, or drugs to relieve stress, and the remainder is made up of gambling, sex, even addiction to the internet.
So not only when we take medication are we not going for cause, but when we develop our addiction or utilize them as so-called stress reducers, we're really only exacerbating the problem.
And that's what happened to me, Eileen. I was in a vicious circle, and I noticed everyone else in the clinics were always going back as a revolving door. And because I had pioneered organic foods, I knew that a lot of what we eat and drink has a direct bearing on our moods, because we have two brains. One brain is on our head that we all know, but a lot of people don't know the second brain is actually in the gut lining of your small intestine. 95% of all serotonin receptors are in your gut lining, and that's all to do with how you feel, your mood. So when you get a dull feeling, your body will start to crave a destructive coping mechanism, wanting either sweets or savouries, you know, tastes. And it gives you a temporary release, but it's actually doing you a lot of harm to your neurochemistry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that explains, when I was reading your book, I was thinking that your story suggests how incredibly strong you are, because my learning about emotions, I've worked with them for a number of years, my learning is that when we hold them inside, they tend to grow and they're always looking for a way out. And yours didn't find a big way out until you had gone through many years of this. But I also see that you were really working hard with some really good information that you knew, like about nutrition, thinking that you were going to get to the bottom, and it just didn't work for you.
Well, none of it worked until after I had the nervous breakdown, because I had to put myself in a tough place where everyone else had the same problem and research their issues. So when I admitted myself in Kansas at the Menager Clinic, I started to befriend every patient, and a lot of them were top doctors themselves who couldn't overcome their addictions, couldn't overcome their depression or bipolar or their anxiety, and they kept coming back like a revolving door. And I also researched a lot about the medications we're all taking, and I realized that it's a lot more, that all we're doing is putting a Band-Aid on it and addressing it with a new Band-Aid every day, having to take medication. And I used to say to the doctors, well, if I came to you with a broken leg, wouldn't I be insisting that you not only give me medication for the pain, but I'd be insisting on you cure my leg? But it's not happening with emotional issues, and we all can have mind conditions. It's on the increase. It's getting out of hand. It's becoming a pandemic. On the front page of the USA Today newspaper is all about obesity and how it's out of control and how it's growing at an alarming rate, and it's actually unstoppable. And according to the World Health Organization, lifestyle diseases are the greatest cause of death.
Yeah, we're certainly up against it a lot. You know, in talking with Dr. Breggin a few weeks ago, he pointed out that in cultures, in countries where they don't have as much money, they can't throw medication at people so much, so they rely on family systems and talking people through things. And not only do more people get through their illnesses that way, but they have a lower rate of recidivism, which I found really interesting. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, well, what we're talking about is loving those people, and what you learned to do was to love yourself.
Yes, that's true, Eileen. But on a practical basis, it had to come around through me healing myself, curing myself. Overseas, all countries are setting trends, and most of those trends come from the Western world, and most of them come from our great nation. So a lot of our lifestyles are built on how we perceive life. As I said earlier, I bought into the American, you know, Hollywood dream, you know, of success and have a good life. A lot of countries now are now having obesity. They're having alarming numbers of people starting to have more emotional disorders. They're starting to now have obesity, more heart attacks, prostate cancer, all the way through to heart disease and strokes. And all indicators are showing that with all our knowledge, you know, from a medical point of view, all the indicators are going up. Everything's going up. which is negative. That's obesity, diabetes, heart attack, strokes, cancer, and mind conditions.
Yes.
We're not winning the war on stress. It's time to fight back.
And I'm glad that we have the opportunity to learn how to fight back from someone who's really been through the trenches. It's time for our first break here. We're talking today with Paul Hulish, who is author of Stress Pandemic, and we're discussing his 9 steps for surviving, mastering stress, and living well in our next segment following this break. You're listening to Full Power Living. We'll be right back.
Listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, 4 things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. Welcome back to Full Power Living. This is Eileen Dillon, and I have a few announcements. You know, upcoming guests are listed at the top of our radio show page on emotionalpro.com. And in our next show, I'll be talking with Dr. Bradley Nelson, who's developer of the Emotion Code and the Body Code, who will follow up this important program with his ideas of how we can work effectively with emotions so they don't build up in the first place and create the possibility of personal breakdown. We've talked with Dr. Nelson before, and he has a lot of helpful ideas and information, so I hope you don't miss this show, or for that matter, any episodes of Full Power Living. If you do miss one of our live broadcasts, or you want to share our show with your friends or family, you can download podcasts from our radio show page on emotionalpro.com or on blogtalkradio.com, and you can subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes. We sincerely thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Today we're talking with New Zealand-born author and businessman Paul Hulish about the 9 natural steps he developed that brought him all the way back from an emotional collapse that most people don't return from. Paul, just before we get into our regular questions, your website is stresspandemic.com, and I know you have further information or resources like your new blog. You have a blog at lifestyle.org and a video of the stretching exercises you developed, and I see that you're also offering workshops. So I thought I'd ask you here to tell us, I know you're stress-free, so what are you doing now? Because you still seem to be quite busy, and that's another real test of your ability to deal with stress, I'm sure.
Well, at the moment, I'm wanting to raise awareness, you know, of the consequences of unchecked stress. I've been living in New York City on the Granite Rock in the intensity of it's the largest city in the United States, in our great country here. and I'm on a 20-city tour raising awareness, doing book signings at Barnes & Nobles and leading bookstores, to talking to health groups like National Alliance for Mental Illness, and doing awareness and making donations of books to their libraries, and actually talking to other support groups to do with health, and also reaching out, doing radio and television. So I'm doing the best I can. So I'm going to a lot of these stressful cities. So I'm here in Detroit, where it's been very challenging for a lot of people in the auto industry. And my heart goes out to many people in America due to environmental stress, which is beyond our control. We're all aware of what's happened in the Midwest and what's happened on the coast due to unforeseen hurricanes and challenging conditions. But most Americans, over 48% of Americans, according to the Mental Health America survey, are stressed about finances. And 34% of us Americans are stressed about health. And 32% are stressed about employment. So I'm here battling on the front lines of stress, as I said, trying to raise awareness.
Boy, that's big. I know one of the things that that I learned is that you've always been very generous. Reading your book, I see that, for example, you and your brothers, when you started a nonprofit corporation for children, you took $1 million out of your own pockets, not out of the business, to get it started. And I understand that you're donating copies of your book to people who also have been experiencing stress. Is that what you're doing when you say you're giving it to libraries? How do you find these people? How do you know that you're getting it to the people who really need it?
Well, for 3 years now, I've been supporting National Alliance for Mental Illness. It's called NAMI, the New York one, where there's a walk every year over Brooklyn Bridge, and every year I have a marquee there, and I give away 400 maybe organic lunches, and I give away a lot of books each year, at least around that number again, and I talk to mum and dads, brothers and sisters, and victims of stress to give them hope. And that's what my journey in life is now. I'll have to admit, I might have lost a fortune, but I've gained an insight and a richness of life. And I always promised myself that if I ever cured myself of stress and the challenges of what I had as mind conditions due to stress, I would devote my time to raising awareness. One, that we have a toxic way of living, and that due to stress and making poor lifestyle choices are the unfortunate key to a broad range of health-related diseases of the mind and the body and health issues. And secondly, that you can fight back, that you can do so much whether you're on medication or not, and that even though there might be 100 tools in your toolbox to actually relieve and combat stress, if you're a mum or dad on the go or a student or whoever you are, because stress affects us of all ages, you need to embrace the most effective tools, which is all about minimum effort for maximum release, maximum benefit.
I'm so glad that you're bringing all this to people. I want to get to your 9 steps. What do you think makes your 9 steps different from what other people have developed, Paul?
The 9 steps, as I said just a little bit earlier, are the ones that have been proven and tested under the toughest of all circumstances. The end of the road for any human being who's had stress is actually developing bipolar 1, that they call now. That's not bipolar 2. Bipolar 1 is where you have totally lost all control over your mind and your body, and you can't remember a lot of what you did on the day you lost your mind, and that you need to be on the most tough, you know, most severe, strong drugs that will help stabilize you. It is very, very tough. Now, I was given no hope that the medication that I was on, which is the strongest drugs you could have for the condition, that my condition would break through. Well, it hasn't broken through. I actually held the line and fortified myself and in time corrected the chemical imbalance. So when I was researching nutrition and all the important keys, I thought to myself, well, I've got 100 tools. A lot of them I was using prior to having the mental breakdown, but they didn't hold the line. So I have to research more thoroughly, that am I using the tools correctly? Am I using a hammer when I should have been using a screwdriver? And when I'm using a chisel, let's say, am I looking at the grain of timber? Am I using it correctly? And I use the toolbox as an example, because if you had to build a house in a short period of time and you only could pick 9 tools, you better pick the right ones or you won't achieve building the house in the time that you've allocated. And that's how life is, because life is a bit of a bullying place. It's all about 24/7, and it's all about knowing that we're on the go. And as I said about the stress response, that response, a lot of people are actually in the fight-flight scenario a lot of their waking lives. They are not relaxing. They try, but it doesn't work enough. And the chemical imbalance keeps increasing, whether on medication or not, and that's when they develop all sorts of mind conditions or physical ones.
Thank you for that. So even these 9 steps then are what you developed to address. I think in your book you talk about how you had to change your habits, that a lot of what was not working were your habitual ways of dealing with things, and you've talked about that here for other people too. The first of the 9 steps you say are transformative, and as I understand it, they are primary, they're necessary in order to be able to do the others, the take charge, kick your bad habits, and learn to say no. Can you tell us briefly about those 3 and why they're important?
Well, they are your transformative steps. And taking charge, some people can't at first. They still don't think they're worth it, or they don't think it's time to change because they don't want to listen to the symptoms. They could take charge of telling the dog to stop barking by going and talking to the owner next door because they can't sleep. But to take charge in telling something very serious and deep and upsetting them with their spouse or their boss or their best friend could be very challenging. But the other steps help you take charge, and that's the wonderful benefit about these steps. You don't have to take any particular step first, but you need to know that even kicking your bad habits, as you said, Eileen, that's your coping mechanisms, your destructive coping mechanisms, is to have an awareness and know that that's what's bringing you down. But how can you overcome it? I've got no willpower. Well, the other steps, tools, will help you overcome that. Same with learning to say no. as I said earlier, the world is a bit of a bullying place, and a lot of the boundaries are blurred, and a lot of us, it's very hard to find anyone where their contentment merges with their goals and ambitions. Their goals and ambitions might be reaching for the sky, but their contentment is at ground level. And what's that all about? Not being able to follow your innermost feelings. Because a lot of us lose that. We don't even know what it's all about. And these steps help you find and fortify yourself in even following your innermost feelings, to be able to say no. And also helping you to follow your innermost feelings and at times to be able to say yes. So those transformative steps can go hand in hand with the practical steps. So you might not be able to do them, but you might be able to look at your diet, nutrition.
So those practical steps that you just mentioned, they are doing affirmations, getting proper exercise, nutrition, and sleep. So they're the practical take care of your body and mind. And I really like also that the exercises you developed are basically stretching exercises, and they're so simple and so straightforward. You don't need any specialized equipment, and you can do them almost anywhere. So even if you travel or whatever, you can still get them done on a regular basis.
That's the case, Eileen. Yeah. A lot of people might not understand, but affirmations are very powerful. The power of positive thinking actually helps support you in having a good night's sleep. If you say some affirmations, which are suggested in the book, they don't take long. You can do them when you're lying in bed just before you go to sleep. Just think of a child who used to have to, with the guidance of mum and dad, say their prayers. It's all about knowing, conceive, believe, achieve. So affirmations are very powerful, and they don't take much time. Exercise, yes, very important, but what sort of exercise? I used to be a swimmer, a runner, a rower. I used to do many things that the experts told me, but after hitting a brick wall, I decided that what I was doing, what all the experts said, needed to be re-evaluated in light that my symptoms of stress brought me down. And even though I reacted to them, they didn't work. What did I find was an important exercise to do? Well, all of us know that you need to breathe to stay alive and you need to sleep. Well, what we are built for naturally to do is to walk, and to have a brisk walk every morning in the urban gym is so powerful, because a lot of people don't realize there are 7,200 nerve endings in your feet connected to every part of the brain and the body. A brisk walk in the morning with no distractions. It's not you armed with an iPhone or music or a friend or walking the dog. A real brisk walk non-stop helps balance the neurochemistry of the mind and the body and helps fortify you for the challenges and stresses of the day. And as for nutrition, everybody talks about nutrition, talk about vitamins, talk about calories, everything. Most people who try and go on a diet, what do they do when they come off the diet? They want to be able to have sustainable, wonderful lifestyle whereby they can enjoy everything and maintain their health and their weight. The 9 natural steps helps you achieve that. I was overweight. I had a very big tummy, a pot belly, and I had a lot of cellulite, which is unusual for a man, but not really when you consider my lifestyle, because I was eating a lot of junk food. I could eat a bag of cookies. I could eat a bag of popcorn. I was always eating sweets. I liked all my savory snacks, and I liked all my sweets. Well, I paid a huge price. That affected my neurochemistry. And a lot of people don't realize that if you do exercise at night, your serotonin can't become melatonin. And if you're doing shift work, you've got to be very aware of cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone that is very high in the morning and low in the evening. And that makes it very difficult for people who are doing shift work. And the last thing about sleep, a lot of people actually exercise at night. Well, it's not good for you. You have to do exercise in the morning. And if you've got no time, well, you need to get up a bit earlier and allow nature to tell you when you should go to sleep later in the day. Because I had all those problems too. How do I fit everything in? As Eileen said, the exercises you can do in your hotel room. I'm in the hotel room right now in Detroit. I've been the same weight for 13 and a half years now. And what has happened is I have no trainer, no gym membership, and no equipment. So it's very cost-effective. Most of all, efficient with time. You're getting maximum benefit for minimum effort.
That's really lovely. Yeah, the idea. I do go three mornings a week on a trail near my home for an hour, and I really like
yes.
it.
It's wonderful. It's nature, and it allows you also to earth yourself.
Yes. I live for it, actually. It's so wonderful. So we're up to our second break, Paul. We're talking today with stress and lifestyle expert Paul Hulish, who is author of Stress Pandemic. You're listening to Full Power Living, and we'll be back following these messages.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
As a parent, have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com.
We're back here on Full Power Living with stress and lifestyle expert Paul Hulish, author of Stress Pandemic, which was featured in Publishers Weekly, the American Stress Institute, and School Library Journal, and it was also chosen as a recommended summer read by Edge Magazine. He also wrote another book called Betrayal of Love and Freedom, which is a novel based in part on his experiences and addresses the subject of mental wellness. And, you know, Paul, I think it's important for us to point out that you have not taken any medication related to bipolar disorder or the nervous conditions that you suffered for 12 years, and you haven't had a relapse, and you haven't had further treatment for mental illness. You've also been featured in Psychology Today, and like you are today, you've been interviewed on more than 100 radio shows nationwide, and you've had numerous television appearances and been in the newspaper as well, as you say, bringing your message of awareness, trying to wake us up and say, look, you're under a lot of pressure and you got to make some actually quite simple changes in order to come out of the effects, the tremendous effects of stress. I think it's step 9 that you really are addressing the issue of persistence. Why is it difficult for us to persist to help ourselves get better with something that's so debilitating as stress? Paul, what's your experience with that?
My research showed, especially when I was in the clinic and I talked to anyone globally about health, we give up because we feel we can't see a way out. It's like being locked up in a room and you can't see the door, and you just keep going around and around in circles. And then you find you're bombarded by so much information. You know, people telling us different ways how to handle it. And it's like, as I said, those 100 tools. If you pick up the wrong tool, it could be effective, but if it's not very effective and you're under a lot of stress, it won't work. And I have to be upfront right now. If I only embraced one of the tools, I would never have been able to cure myself. And to know that I've got none of the symptoms of stress, yes, I don't take any natural sleeping aids even. I don't even not only not grind my teeth, none of the other symptoms of stress have ever come back. And that's why it shows that this can be achieved. And not giving up, you have to think of a child. Think of them learning to walk. No matter how many times they fall over, they always pick themselves up again. And you're not alone. So I have to admit, when I first started on this journey, I was falling over. I'd have to keep score because one of my destructive coping mechanisms was alcohol. And, you know, friends would say, oh, come on, have another drink, or, you know, why aren't you drinking tonight or whatever. We're under constant pressure to stay the way we were. Some people could even feel threatened if you were to change. They might not even like the new you. So you've got to have hope, and then don't give up. It's all about not allowing your flame of hope to be crushed, or most of all, extinguished. You are worth it, you're not alone, and don't give up. So I think that people needed a guidebook, and my dream is that this book will be on the kitchen table in every home in America. Under these circumstances, people need to know about some simple, powerful, practical steps, but ones that can help make a huge difference. And the last step, ongoing self-assessment steps, is the one that you just spoke about, Eileen. The other one, the power of awareness. A lot of people feel, what is awareness? Well, awareness is knowing that when you wake up in the morning, one of your senses, smell, taste, hear, whatever, will come into play and trigger a memory. Having an awareness of knowing where your level of stress is and having a level of awareness of not allowing it to go to the next level, or having an awareness of have you any of the symptoms or dangers of stress, is the first step to fighting back and fortifying yourself against the challenges and stresses of life. So awareness is about knowing every action has a reaction and, of course, consequences.
Very well put, yes. So I'm thinking, too, that if, as I would do the 9 things that you're talking about, the very act of doing them would push me in the direction of maintaining the awareness that you're talking about. I would be aware in the first place that I'm doing it as a way of reducing stress, coping with stress, replacing the things that have been stressful for me. And that in itself increases my awareness, does it not?
Yes, that's what happens, Eileen. And what also happens is you start to realize that physical ailments, like if you had a broken leg, you would know you wouldn't run on it. You'd have to allow it to heal first. But when it's all to do with stress and symptoms, we don't want to give our bodies and minds a rest. You know, it's 24/7 on the go. These nine natural steps, when they are working together eventually, that you're practicing all the nine natural steps properly, and it's not hard. All the hard work's been done. It's been tried and tested. As the American Institute of Stress, who invited me to become a member, they approached me for several copies that they wanted two of their doctors to research all the footnotes, the 300 references that I refer to, and they came back and said it was a great guidebook, well researched and scientifically proven and more. So you're not going to be wasting your effort. All you have to realize is if you ever get to do the nine steps, you will notice a change within a week. And after a month, you would not only feel great, but you'd look great too. And that prevention's the key. Prevention is far better than recovery.
Yes, I certainly agree. And I note, too, that in your book, many times you say that to really establish new habits, you just need to do the new things for a month, and then you will get into new habits. And so that's a very hopeful message that people can change that quickly. One of the things I want to address here with you, Paul, I work with emotions, with anger, and I find a lot of people say, oh, we're going to manage anger, and I find myself saying to them, no, we're going to master anger. Managing anger is not going far enough. And I love that you are talking about mastering stress. What do you mean about mastering stress?
Well, what you just said, Eileen, is probably the answer in a nutshell. There's no way I wanted to just cope with stress because I'd feel I'm not in control. I wanted to master it, understanding that when stress, and there's always going to be sources of stress. As one person who interviewed me recently said, oh, I dream of being on an island with a coconut tree and a wonderful sandy beach and, you know, get away from stress of life. And I thought, well, you might be able to escape from the initial stresses in your life, but it's going to come looking for you. You don't need to go looking for stress. It'll come looking for you. What about a hurricane? What about a tsunami? And you say, oh, gee, you just ruined my day. I've now lost that thought. And I said, that's the problem. Stress is always going to be there. Stress manifests actually when you're shortly after you're conceived in your mum's womb, and it's with you for the rest of your life to the moment you die. With those neurochemicals forming within months of being in the womb, when you come into this world, you'll have learnt behaviour from your parents. The lifestyle will start to develop depending on whether our mum was abused or whether you were bullied at school or whether you had to have higher grades to get the job. Your neurochemistry is actually changing to the pressures, the intensity and stresses of life.
Well, I know that's true.
And you need to fortify yourself to be able to handle those stresses and challenges of life. So, yes, mastering stress is where you want to be, because in the end, you should have a sense of contentment where you're ambitions and goals are merging with contentment. I had lost that. I had it when I was a teenager, but as I said, I bought into the Hollywood dream. And when I started curing myself, the doctors and the psychiatrists and my mother especially, my mother was the one who encouraged me to write the book initially, and then doctors and lots of people, you know, suggested I should write a book and share it, raise awareness. And when those feelings started to come back, I said, "Mom," and I used to say to my sons and friends, "I've never felt this good. I had forgotten how it felt to be good. I was like a cancer patient, always lived with the pain, the dull feeling in my tummy, wondering why happiness was just so fleeting, wondering why me and other people who achieve a lot, why we're not happy. Look at Elvis. He had everything. But his coping mechanisms, which were destructive, was food, alcohol, and drugs. Look at Marilyn Monroe. Look at, recently, Michael Jackson." It goes on.
Well, I really appreciate your 9 steps. I also have found, because of my work with emotions, to me, emotions are energy, and we need to keep the energy of emotions moving. And many of your steps do that. However, I have found that keeping the energy of emotions moving and addressing, let's say, manipulation in my life or worry or guilt — I don't do guilt, I don't do worry — they also have tended to permanently reduce stress for me. And I think that's what you're talking about, is you can permanently reduce it on some level, even though it may come up in other places, and then you utilize the 9 steps that you have to deal with whatever comes up.
Yes, that's true. What happens is I used to say, "I'm going to allow stress to wash over me, but not to go within me."
Good.
So when the stresses come your way, and they will, you know, you'll be out of work, you could be doing 2 jobs, you haven't to pay the bills, you're having rejection issues, relationship breaks up. Let's face it, here in America, a lot of relationships, you know, don't survive. Well, that affects all family members, and it's very emotionally challenging for everyone. So everything starts with a thought, but due to our experiences, we have a tendency of our minds, our emotions, jumping to the past. And depending on what senses, like, let's say you wake up, the first thing starts with a thought. You might think of, you wake up and you hear some lovely music. Well, that puts you in a wonderful mood. If you wake up to the smell and odor of a dentist, which you're terrified of, that'll take you down a bit. So that's what happens. Our senses are all playing a part, but us having an awareness of not allowing even our senses to become desensitized, and that can even happen, like the doorman at New York, where I was living, right there on the Granite Rock in Manhattan. I said, "Oh, have you ever moved away from New York?" And he said, "Yeah, I tried twice in my lifetime." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Oh, well, I had to pay a recording of sirens and noises." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I couldn't sleep without all the noise." And I said, "Well, where did you go to live?" And he said, "Oh, North Carolina." I said, "Why did you come back?" "I couldn't do without the noise."
That's very interesting. Well, I'm so grateful to you, Paul. I admire and I congratulate you for what you've done personally to recover from the edge of this, of the possibility of ongoing insanity. But I also, you know, I really applaud you and thank you for working to help other people master stress and develop the awareness that you've been talking about, so they don't fall all the way into the traps that caught you. I want to remind people that your book is entitled Stress Pandemic, 9 Natural Steps to Survive, Master Stress, and Live Well. Paul will be coming to your home to find out whether you have it on your kitchen table, because that is his aim. And so be sure to rush out and get it and put it on your table. And his site is stresspandemic.com, stresspandemic.com. Paul, thank you for bringing your really important message with us here on Full Power Living. I wish you every stress-mastered success for your future.
Well, thank you, Eileen. It's been wonderful to talk to you and reach out to your listeners. And you need to take control of your stress before it takes control of you. And that prevention's the key. Prevention's far better than recovery.
Thank you so much, Paul. You can sign up to listen to our archives on emotionalpro.com. And next week, join us to listen as Dr. Bradley Nelson tells us how we can work with the emotion code and the body code, which he developed, to heal ourselves emotionally and physically. Paul and Robin Johnston of Fresh Talk Media are our producers. Thank you for your years of caring support. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.